Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Madden!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal. Hey Bunty, good morning or good afternoon, I should say. Greetings from San Francisco. Hope everything is fine in London. I guess you've been following the news, and there's a ton of coverage of the conviction of Baba Gurmeet Singh Ram Rahim Insan. I think that's his full name, the leader of the Dera Sacha Sauda sect, who's been convicted finally after a long process of rape. And Haryana was all aflame with his supporters turning out in droves, engaging in a lot of vandalism. The government didn't take any preventive action. It let him let his followers congregate, commit violence. The BJP government was incidentally an ally of sorts of the Babas, who had also cultivated the Congress, apparently, if the BJP is to be believed. And the latest news this morning is that he's been sentenced to 20 years. Sentence of 10 years each for each rape committed, although there are stories of, you know, numerous other victims, men and women, men being castrated, women being raped, and apparently he was sobbing right throughout while the sentence was declared. So that, in a nutshell, is what's been happening, and I'd be interested in what your thoughts on the matter are.
I always think, Rohit, these Baba Bazi is a dubious thing. Right, you know, we talked about Thanda Baba a while back in another episode,
right.
Where some guy who had died and his followers had frozen his body in the hope that this Baba would come back to life. So they thought it was some kind of temporary arrangement. Now, I don't think this Baba is any different. But what interests me in this story is how long this guy managed to do what he managed to do. Now, from what I've picked up on media commentary, it seems like this is a sect for people who are followers of Sikhism, but are kind of at the marginal end of the spectrum. So people who are, you know, have traditionally been excluded from mainstream Sikhism,
right?
A lower caste. So he basically, the movement is one of empowering people who haven't had connections with mainstream Sikh practice to give them an alternative path, right? So that's kind of seems to me the cornerstone of this practice, that, you know, if you're outside, I'll bring you in. And then quite a lot of the things that this sect does is, again, this is media commentary. I'm not a member. I don't know friends who are a member, are charitable, etc. So I am not in a position, and I think we should kind of not go into an area where we comment on what this sect does, right? Because, you know, some of it may be good, some of it may be charitable work. The focus on the commentary that we'd like to pull on, or I'd like to put forward definitely, is the personal characteristics of this guy, right?
Right.
So here's a guy, 10 years ago or however long ago, he commits two rapes, right? And then he plays hide and seek with the law. The law catches up with him. And if I don't understand what he's telling his followers, where they are creating riot and ruckus, because this man has been found guilty in a court of law in the country, and by rights he should be going to prison. So I think there is some bit of messaging that has happened between the Baba's kind of deputies and his kind of management staff and the followers to orchestrate this tamasha, right? Which to me leads to a second line of culpability, which is the Baba committed rape. What's going to happen to the people who orchestrated this kind of mindless violence,
right,
in Haryana and other cities? How and whom and how are going to hold people accountable? And in,
right,
India, we've noticed of late that because breaking the law happens in a group situation, it's almost that chalo, ab kya kiya jai, you know, let's just manage with it, right? And I think as a nation and as a kind of law-abiding, the law processes, we need to figure out a way of, you know, how this kind of wholesale nuisance is dealt with. Because, you know, it's not one perpetrator. There were many perpetrators. And how do we bring these guys to book? And should we bring everybody, like the 40,000 people across two states or however many thousand people who created this? Or should we go and focus in the mechanisms of law on this Baba's second circle, the people who were responsible, if we can find it? So that's that is my first thing. How do we kind of tackle this law breaking? Because this guy went to prison because he broke the law. On the back of that, there were a range of other people who broke the law, right? So how do we address that is my main question.
Well, it's a very valid question. I think it's actually one of, I think, the most urgent questions facing the Indian state today. And it's one of the most important governance-related issues. And I think the problem is that there is tacit approval from politicians for people to engage in collective violence. Not only is there tacit approval, politicians actually stir up this kind of violence, because study after study has shown that communalizing the electorate, creating riots, creating this kind of mass violence reaps electoral dividends. And right. Since the ascendancy of the Hindu right, it's only become more prominent. But, you know, as a matter of fact, in the post-independence context, it's not as if Congress leaders have not done it, right? We saw that in 1984. So there is a structure in place which just, you know, is very effective, and at very short notice can get large numbers of people out rioting, committing acts of violence, destroying public property, and that becomes a way of getting political capital for the community as it's portrayed to members of the community, but it's always a particular leader or those in power who really benefit. So we've seen this happen time and again, 92, 93, in the aftermath of the riots following the demolition of the Babri Masjid, Shiv Senics were out openly rioting. Bal Thackeray, you know, made no bones about the fact that Shiv Sena members engaged in violence. And I think there were very few convictions, right? Despite what the Sri Krishna Commission report said. Same thing, with, you know, Azad Maidan, you had large numbers of Muslims in Bombay expressing anger there about various things. And one of them, I think, had, you know, was this is ugly scene of a young Muslim gentleman kicking over a photograph of one of the people who, you know, police officers, I think, who had given his life after the 2008 Mumbai terrorist attacks. So, you know, we've seen this again and again, whether a holy book is insulted or some religion is insulted, or, you know, someone threatening that he'll have his followers on the street.
Yeah, I think we need to, and from our listeners, if there are people who know of legal experts, is so, for instance, this Dera sect, which is financially a very secure sect, would it be within the realms of reason for all the people whose property and shops and businesses have been damaged to file individual claims against this sect for making good? Because if you were living in a kind of civilized, law-abiding society, you've expressed your political point of view, whatever it is you've expressed, whoever's expressed it. There are two things. One, can I get the random people who created violence, can I bring them to the law? Okay, if you can't do that, then the mechanics is, can I bring the people who orchestrated to law? Okay, let's say you can't do option two. Then the third option is, can you make good the people who have lost their, you know, businesses, automobiles, houses, whatever has happened, or, you know, have suffered physical, what kind of compensation mechanism is set up? Because, you know, to just sit back and say this is just natural expression of anger is a failure of governance. The second point, which we haven't picked up on, and this is another thing that we've picked up on media commentary, at least I've picked up, Rohit, I'm sure you've seen it, is when this guy was arrested, apparently his accommodation and provisions that were given to him, and this happens repeatedly in India when somebody is brought to the book who is holding political office or is close to political office or by some way, shape or form has some kind of influence, there is like khatirdari that happens where this guy is put up in an, you know, VIP bungalow, treated, you know, there's a motorcade that escorts him here, then everywhere. So it's very interesting, the signal that it sends to young people and to the majority of the law-abiding population in India, that criminals are, it's very filmy that, you know, he's being treated with all the care and comfort that is accorded to somebody like, you know, I don't know. I mean,
visiting head of state.
Yeah, let's go with that. You know, it's really odd that you know he could be treated if he's a criminal. Nobody's saying that you need to kind of lynch him, though it's popular and flavor of the month every day in India. But what you do need to do is treat him. Strip him of the kind of luxuries and encumbrances that go with any kind of official office. You know, right. Just treat him like a common criminal, which is put him in a policeman and take him to jail or lock up. And, you know, there's no need to beat him up. Just give him what you'd give a normal under trial. Apparently, he's supposed to have an assistant in jail. This happened to Jayalalitha as well. This happened to,
Amit Shah. And then there are criminals who live in style, right, with mobile phones running their rackets and...
Correct. And this happened to Trinamool. So Trinamool Congress people in Bengal, when they went to prison on some kind of Sharada scam, those idiots also were provided like, you know, assistance and, you know, mobile phone, DVD. So this jail luxury, one is, you know, how you deal with people before the person gets to jail, you know, the criminality that happens. The other is going to jail, that process should be made more equitable. Those are our kind of, those are my points on this one.
That's an excellent point. And I'll just share an anecdote before I think we wrap this one up, leaving those two questions for our listeners to ponder about and share their feedback on. The one exception to this, interestingly, is once if someone has been convicted or is an under trial or is serving a sentence on grounds of terrorism, in keeping with the sort of discourse of, you know, patriotism or even generally a discourse of treason when it's not jingoistic, a legitimate discourse of treason, so to say, that's when then these, you know, these luxuries don't apply. I know this because I knew someone in Bombay who was a doctor with the government, affiliated with the government hospital, JJ Hospital, and he shared an anecdote that when Sanjay Dutt, you know, was in jail following the aftermath of the riots, he had procured an AK-47 from someone with underworld connections. You know, the case ran forever, and I think finally he's done with it, right? I think he's finally done with it. I've lost track.
Yes.
So Sanjay Dutt's a chain smoker. He used to be a drug addict, and one of the things that drug addicts do to get off their drug addiction apparently is smoke. In jail, he wasn't getting his Benson Hedges or Marlboros, so he was smoking a very cheap cigarette called Cavenders. And, you know, he used to smoke 40 or 60 a day, and as a result of those, he had developed some kind of lung infection. So he's a guy who was not given his usual luxuries of, you know, high-end cigarettes and so on. But otherwise, you're right, this sort of idea of, you know, treating people and the Attorney General of Haryana holding his bag and, you know, cops falling at his feet and so on, that's something that that whole culture needs to change. So I think on that note, we'll wrap this episode up. And, you know, I'm sure, unfortunately, the kinds of issues raised here are things that I suspect we'll keep seeing. So we'll come back to discussing those in another context, I'm quite certain. But yeah, let's wrap this up. So take care, man.
All right. Chalo then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.